We're going to begin our reading tonight in verse 25. And we will read the next few verses and we'll make our prayer tonight and we'll see what God has for us. John chapter 8, verse 25, the Bible says, "Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. For I do always those things that please him." As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You know, friends, truth is under attack in our world today. And we're going to look at this passage of Scripture and see what God has to say because we find freedom in the truth. Let's pray. Lord, help us as we focus our attention on your word tonight. I pray that you'd give us understanding. I pray, Lord, that you would give us guidance and direction for our life. And help us, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, that we would take a stand and earnestly contend for the faith. Lord, I pray that you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray that your word would fall on good ground tonight, that it would spring up and grow in our hearts and in our lives. And may you be glorified, may your word be glorified in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Throughout history, people have always sought to know the truth about reality, about what is right and what is wrong, about what is meaningful and purposeful in life. And as a result, in this world, we find endless philosophies and worldviews and religious systems. These have arisen over the centuries, each claiming to teach absolute truth and each in turn canceling out the absolute truths of those that came before it. The belief that mankind on his own can formulate the perfect rational system, one that would fully explain all of reality, reached its peak during the Enlightenment. Human reason, it was thought, would eventually discover the answers to all of life's troubling questions, and therefore solve all of society's problems. The assumption was that through intellectual achievements and the growing body of scientific knowledge that humanity would eventually bring about a utopia. And hence there would be no need for religion, which had kept people in darkness for centuries. There was no interest in divine revelation or salvation, since man believed that he could save himself from his problems. This is called humanism. And humanism is everywhere in our world today. But the brightness of the Enlightenment had faded to darkness in recent times. The unimaginable slaughter of two world wars, the unfathomable evil of the Holocaust, the terrifying reality of nuclear war quickly shattered the unrealistic idealism of the 18th and 19th century. And in its place was disbelief and doubt as it began to take hold of individuals, and the feelings of uncertainty became more and more widespread. Increasingly, the very concept of truth itself became under fire, especially the possibility of knowing absolute truth. Sinners want to do evil and feel no guilt whatsoever. And so the lack of absolutes accommodates the desperately wicked heart, as illustrated in Jeremiah chapter 17. People imagine that by denying the existence of absolute truth and by throwing off the shackles of biblical ethics, that they would finally find freedom, that they would finally be set free. And yet instead, they found themselves only more empty and only more enslaved to the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Jesus declared in John chapter 8 and verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I want you to turn, you're in John chapter 8, I want you to turn 10 chapters ahead to the Gospel of John, the 18th chapter, and notice what the Bible says with me in verse 36. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, and the Lord Jesus is being questioned by Pilate. In John chapter 18 and verse 36, the Bible says this, "Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, and I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from thence." By the way, that's a wonderful, powerful statement. Oftentimes we fight God's battle thinking that God's kingdom is of this world, but Jesus said, "My kingdom's not of this world. If my kingdom was of this world, don't you know that I would fight?" I love the story in the Garden of Gethsemane. This is off topic, but I just love the story in the Garden of Gethsemane when Peter pulled out his sword and was going to fight and chopped off Malchus's ear. And Jesus said, "Peter, put your sword away. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. My kingdom's not of this world," he said. "Listen, if I wanted to fight, I'd call 10 legions of angels. One legion, one angel himself destroyed a whole army. Could you imagine what 100,000 angels could do?" Jesus said, "Listen, if my kingdom was of this world, then I would fight. But I'm not going to fight because my kingdom is not of this world." Verse 37, "Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should," look at this, "that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." And we find this question of Pilate. He says, "What is truth? What is truth?" Now we understand tonight that truth is ontological. It's the way things are. It's reality. Our world would say that that truth has no absolutes. The truth, they would say, truth is relative. And what that means is that it depends on the personality of an individual. It depends on the opinions of a person, that each person has their own truths, that there is no absolute truth in this world. And our world would say, and maybe you've had conversations with people, they'll say, "What's true for you may not be true to me." And this is not what the Bible teaches us. In fact, the Bible says the truth is not a what, it's a who. Jesus said, "I am the truth. I'm the truth." And John 8, verse 45, he says, "Because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not." In John 16, 7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth." Truth is absolute. God is truth. He is truth. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4, let me read these scriptures for you. "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment, a God of truth, and without iniquity, just and right is he. Into thine hand," Psalm 31, 5, "I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." Isaiah 65, verse 16, "that he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. He that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and because they are hid in mine eyes. The God of truth, truth is of God. John the Apostle penned that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Light is the revelation of truth. God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. In other words, everything that God says must be truth. Must be truth. Hebrews 6:18 says, it is impossible for God to lie. Not that God doesn't lie. It's that God cannot lie. Because God is truth. John 17, verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The Bible teaches us that God is a God of truth. He's a God of truth. And it is impossible for us to define what truth is without reference to God. He is truth. Jesus said, ye shall know the truth. It's not a what, it's a who. Ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. I want to give you some thoughts tonight, if I could, about this battle for truth in our world today. First of all, I want us to notice, if you're taking notes tonight, the foe of truth. The foe of truth. Would you turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Now, I hope that you believe that there's a devil. And the devil is, as the children would sing, a sly old fox. He is the adversary of the Christian, the enemy of the Christian, and the devil hates you because the devil hates God. And God is truth. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, follow along as I read, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of, look at this, of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Listen, our job, our task as a Christian is to lift up the truth. To lift up the truth. Now, I said in our message that this is not a what, it's a who. It's Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto myself. And friend, listen to me. We are living in a day. We are living in a day when individuals have itching ears and they are turned away from the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And the more and more our society marches forward, the more and more we see this in our world today where people don't want to be told what is right and what is wrong. They don't want to be told the truth. They have itching ears and they seek out teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And yet the Bible teaches us that God has ordained, don't miss this, God has ordained the purpose of His church to preach the truth. And if people can't hear the truth in the church, then where in the world are they going to hear it? Where are they going to hear it? Paul, the apostle, wrote to a young man named Timothy. And he said in 1 Timothy 3:15, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. The church is to hold up the truth, the banner of truth. And they are to lift up the Lord Jesus. And if people, listen, people must hear the truth and they must come to the house of God and hear the word of God. We continue our reading in verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light, the revealed truth of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. I believe with all my heart, from the authority of the Bible, that God wants everyone to be saved. God wants every individual to come to the knowledge of the truth. But friend, listen to me. There's a devil, and he's at work, and he's trying to distort the truth. He's trying to hide the truth. He's trying to confuse the truth, lest people know the truth and be saved. He's at work in our world today. People will say to me, well, Pastor Burns, I don't understand. Why are there so many religions in our world today? And I say, well, God's not the author of confusion, but the devil is. And the devil wants people to be confused. He doesn't want people to know the truth. He doesn't want people to hear the gospel message. Listen, friend, the devil hates truth. He's the foe of truth. But secondly, you could write it down, the folly in rejecting the truth. The folly in rejecting the truth. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1. If you turn there, Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, we'll begin our reading in verse 21. We notice a society that has rejected truth in this passage of Scripture. In verse 21, the Bible says, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God. This is Romans 1, verse 21. Neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts. Humanity following after their own pleasure and lusts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Look what the Bible says, verse 25. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Now, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1 that God has revealed basic truth of Himself through even creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, Psalm 19 in verse number 1. And the Bible also teaches us that other invisible attributes of God, such as His wisdom and His power and His beauty, are all on constant display within that which is created. In fact, the Bible says that our world today, all of humanity, that they can see the glory of God, that God is an all-wise and powerful God, and that when they look at creation, they are without excuse. They are without excuse. That God is the creator of all. In fact, the Bible teaches us in Romans chapter 1 and verse 19 that knowledge of God is inborn within the human heart. And a sense of moral character of His law is hidden in Romans 2, verse 15. It's hidden in the very conscience of humanity. That God has given every single person light. Every person light. Look at John chapter 1. He lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Through our conscience. I mean, you could go to the darkest jungles of Africa in tribes that don't interact with what we would call regular society, and yet written in the conscience of their heart, they know that murder is wrong. Where does that come from? It comes from a moral God who has written it in their hearts. There is no excuse. God has proven that He is real in truth and has made Himself known to our world. And yet, what has our world done with this truth? Well, they suppress it. They suppress these truths, and they live their life for themselves. And God says, all right, this is the society, all right, You've known of me, you've had opportunity, but you have suppressed that truth, you have rejected that truth, and God says, I'm giving you up. You're going to head your own way. You're going to do your own thing. And listen, listen, the greatest salvation that God has given all of us is that he has saved us from ourselves. Where would we be today if God just allowed us to follow our wicked heart? And God says, all right, you follow your wicked heart and you see where it brings you without me in your life. And the Bible gives us all of those examples. And that is our society. I believe with all my heart, that's our society today. That's our society. We have rejected the truth of God. We've changed the truth of God into a lie. We've created, our world has created, our country has created their own God. They've created their own, I would say, so-called truths. And they're living their life for their own pleasure to justify a life of godlessness. A life of godlessness. To suppress the truth is to disgrace God, to displace his glory, and to incur his wrath. And friend, look at our world today. Read the news. Watch the news. We have a world today that has rejected the truth of God. And where has it brought us? Our world is filled with unhappy people. Unhappy people. That they're searching for more, but they cannot fill the vacuum in their heart. The foe of truth, the folly in rejecting the truth. But notice with me, finding the truth. In verse John chapter 8, let's return to the text we read, verse 25. John chapter 8, the Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 25. The Bible says, then said they unto him, who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. And as he spake these words, many believed on him. You say, Pastor Burns, how does one find truth? They find the Savior. They find the Savior. Jesus is the truth. And when one truly believes in Jesus Christ for their salvation, then they find the truth. I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John, the third chapter this time. It's a familiar scripture, I know, and I want to read it just for context's sake. I know that we have many of these verses memorized, but for context's sake, I want to read it to you. Because Jesus is speaking here to a man named Nicodemus. He's a religious man. Religious but lost. You know, there's lots of people that would say, or they would tell you they're Christians. And I know Christian is overused. It's an overused title and name today. But the reality is that not everyone who says they're a Christian is truly a Christian. Understand that. And by the way, while we're on the subject, not every book that says it's Christian is also Christian. Not every website that says it's Christian is Christian either. Not every song that says it's Christian is Christian. We could go on for a long time. At the end of the day, we're talking about being born again and putting our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone. And the question that Nicodemus wanted to know is how to go to heaven and how to have eternal life. And Jesus said in John 3, verse 14, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light, revealed truth has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than this revealed truth. Because why? Their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, hates revealed truth. They don't want to know the truth. Neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. I don't want to know the truth, because that means I have to change my life. I want to believe that I came from monkeys, so I'm not accountable to anyone. Don't tell me I'm accountable to God. Don't tell me I'm going to have to stand before a creator one day. No, I reject that light, that revealed truth. I'll live my own life and do my own thing. And God says in this passage of Scripture that they reject the light because they hate it. They want to do their own thing and live their own life. But look what the Bible says in verse 21. This is wonderful. But he that doeth, what's the word? Truth, cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. The Bible says that he that doeth truth obeys the truth. The God revealed light, the truth given to him, they obey that truth. They come to that light. The Bible says that the salvation that they enjoy is wrought in God. The thought there to be wrought in God means it was formed in God. It was fashioned in God. It is a salvation from God. They are eternally saved. Now think about the light of the Word of God today. I don't know everyone's heart, those here and those watching live stream, but think about the truth of the Bible, the light that God gives us. I'm talking about the truth about our condition. We're all sinners today. We're all sinners. You're going to have to, if you're going to accept the Savior, you're going to have to accept that you need a Savior. You're going to have to accept that you're a sinner and you're lost and you cannot save yourself. A church, a baptismal, you know, good works, those things, they come short. Only Jesus can, by His grace, save you. What about the truth about our destination? The destination is that we are separated from God. Hell is our destination if we reject the truth. What about the truth about our hopelessness? We cannot save ourselves. We cannot save ourselves. We are hopeless without Jesus. And then there's the truth of our Savior, that He died for us so that we could have eternal life. You see, as we accept the light that God gives us from His Word, as we accept the gospel message and obey the truth, the Bible teaches us that we are born again. We are born again into the family of God, and we are a part of this wonderful salvation. Listen, there's a multitude of people in our world today that believe a lot about Jesus. There are those who will believe that He's a good teacher. Others will believe that He's a good man. But friend, listen to me. The Bible says that Jesus is God, and He is the Savior of the world, and He died so that we could have eternal life. He is the answer. He is the answer to our hopelessness. You see, we find truth in Jesus Christ. We find truth in Jesus Christ. We see the foe against the truth, the folly in denying the truth, finding of the truth. But I want to give you this last point, and I'll be done tonight. The freedom in the truth. Now notice what the Bible says, verse 29 of John 8. The Bible says, "And he that sent me is with me. And the Father have not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me, because my word hath no place in you. Jesus turns his attention to those believing Jews, those who believed his message, and he says in verse 29, he says that those that believed on him, and we see the Lord now is separating those who are making false professions. There were many that followed the Lord for various reasons. And the Bible says in this passage of Scripture, Jesus said, listen, if you follow my word, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed. Your salvation is wrought in God. You are a true disciple, is what he's saying. He's separating those who or following him for other reasons. He says, if you continue, if you dwell in my word, if you continue in my word, it's because the conversion in your life was real, it was authentic. And he says in this passage of Scripture that you will seek the truth, and it will be that very truth that makes you free. You say, wait a minute, Pastor Burns. You're contradicting yourself. You said, first of all, that Jesus is truth. And now you're saying that his word is truth. But friend, listen to me. They are one and the same. Jesus is the word. And they are both truth. You see, when you hold the Bible, it is the same as if Jesus was standing beside you speaking to you. This is not the word of men. This is the word of God. This is truth. God cannot lie. And Jesus said, if you continue or dwell in my word, then you are true disciples. You will seek that truth, and the truth will bring freedom into your life. And then we notice the skeptics, these Jews that did not believe, that did not desire truth, but loved their religion and the control that their religion brought. They said in verse 33, we be Abraham's seed, and we're never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. Listen, that's speaking of you and me, by the way. The whosoever committed sin is a rhetorical question. That's everyone. We are all in bondage to our sin. It is Jesus that freed us from the bondage of our sin. And friend, listen to me. As Christians today, we should never go back to our old master. We should never go back to the bondage that sin and the burden that sin has brought upon our life. No, as believers today, we are free in Jesus. We are victors. Sin no longer has control over us. No, we are free. Yes, free indeed. In the Lord Jesus, because we are born again. We are born again. We have come to the truth. We have accepted the truth. We have not turned away the truth in our life. No, Jesus is a part of our life. And we are continuing in that truth. We are the disciples of the Lord Jesus. We have crucified that old man to live in freedom to the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, in this passage of Scripture, the Bible says in verse 35, the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever. Again, Jesus is separating those who would claim to be Christians or make false professions. And he's saying, listen, a son, he sticks around. He sticks around. He stays in the house. The servant comes, the servant goes. But the son, he's there to stay. And friend, today, if you're a child of God, don't you understand that you're here to stay? You can't lose your salvation. A child of God cannot apostatize. You cannot turn away from God. You have the Holy Spirit within you. Your salvation is not manufactured. Your salvation is wrought in God. God's work. God's work. And you're not a servant. You're a son. Amen. You're a child of God. The Bible says, verse 36, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. It is the truth of the Word of God that makes a difference in our life. What a wonderful blessing to know the truth today. What a wonderful blessing to be a child of the truth, to have Jesus as your Savior. Truth is under attack. It's under attack. Our world today does not want to hear the truth. In fact, that which is right and wholesome in our world today has become corrupt and disgusting. And that which is corrupt and disgusting in our world is lifted up as truth and righteous and right. You say, what is the answer for a culture like that? Well, what did the Apostle Paul say about Rome? There was something to be said to live like a Roman. I mean, it was a wicked, wicked culture. A wicked society. Everywhere you look, there was immorality. And people had turned away from the truth. Romans chapter 1, Paul is speaking of the Gentiles in that manner. What did he say? Don't miss this, Christian. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, what our world needs today, our world has rejected the truth, but our world needs to hear the gospel. And it's our job as believers and as the church of the living God to lift up the truth, to lift up Jesus high so that people can see the truth. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. So let's wave the banner high in our world today that Jesus saves. Jesus saves. It has foes. There's the folly of rejecting it, the wrath of God. Its truth is found in Jesus Christ, and those that find it find hope and peace and freedom into their life. Do you know the truth today? Are you born again? I hope so. I hope so. Maybe you know some foes of the truth. Friend, listen, preach the gospel. Give them the glorious message of Jesus Christ and hold high the banner of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word and its help for our life.